B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Today on the pod, it's three guests for the price of one. First up, it's Scott Holiday from Rival Sons and Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots. As they get set to hit the tour trail together, Scott tells you about the influence that STP played on him.
Yeah, definitely. When I was probably, in high school.
We talk about the upcoming tour, whether or not Scott feels that Rival Sons is finally getting their due, as well as Jeff Coote, of course, the singer for Stone Temple Pilots and fellow Detroiter.
You know, we thought because he's from Detroit, that's a really good start. There's some really great bands and really great singers that came from Detroit.
Plus, Robert does give us a little bit of a teaser as far as the new Stone Temple Pilots record is concerned.
Well, I can't really put too much into it right now, but it's...
This second interview is Chad from the band Hell Yeah. Audio taken from a video interview I did with him over the weekend, which you can watch at WRIF.com in its entirety. We talk about a lot of things, including the late, great Vinnie Paul.
He was way more than just a fucking beast drummer. I mean, he's a gearhead, man. He's a studio guy, you know, like... It's a big part of what we did as far as composition and arranging songs.
He also did answer a question a lot of fans have, and that's what's going on with Mudvayne.
What? You're blowing my fucking air back right now. People want to know about Mudvayne? That's crazy talk.
Scott Holiday from Rival Sons, Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots, and Chad Gray from Hell Yeah today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, a big thank you for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. It is Meltdown here along with Al Beck as we get ready for rock news coming up here in just a little bit. Al, I just wanted to play a little, we can play a little snippet of this, which is what we're going to get into here coming up in just a few minutes. Let's see if we can pull this up here.
Yep.
Now, what is this? This is like
1,000 musicians playing Rage Against the Machine.
Let's see if we can get to the hook here. That sounds pretty cool. All right, we'll talk about that coming up here later for rock news. Also news on ZZ Top. I guess they had to cancel some dates. And Corey Taylor's in, I find it hard. Corey Taylor's in the news.
I know. I mean, and he has an opinion of something.
He does?
I know. It seems so strange.
Wow. Well, yeah. That's interesting. Well, we'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. As well as they say, heavy metal is good for you, right?
That's right. Yeah, I've been telling you this for years.
You know, there's all sorts of studies out there. I love it. Like when they say, you know, eggs are bad for you. Then like 2 years later, it's like, eggs are great for you. Then 2 years later, it's like, eggs are bad for you.
Yeah, so well, these eggs, I'm sure, will be bad for you again. But right
exactly.
Now, heavy metal's good for you.
Heavy metal, good. All right. And also, coming up in the second part, after the news, we'll replay my interview with Chad from Hell Yeah, which we just heard a little clip from before the intro there. But I had a chance to talk with him on the back of the bus the other day when they were in town. And, like, no time constraints, just kind of hung out and talked. And so we'll get into that here coming up in just a little bit. But in the meantime, Stone Temple Pilots and Rival Sons are going out on tour. And so they asked me if I wanted to talk to the guys. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And apparently, unlike what I normally do, normally I request the last spot on these tour junkets because usually they're on the West Coast. So the tour junkets start about 11 o'clock or so. Mm-hmm. Which is early for them, or sometimes noonish, or whatever the case is. And I always say, yeah, I want the last one for many reasons. First of all, because I don't start work till 3 o'clock, so I don't want to wake up if I don't have to come in early.
Yeah.
And another one is because sometimes when I'm last and I know the guys, they'll let me go a little bit longer, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But this time around, I was first because as I record this, we have Korn and Alice in Chains coming up tonight, and I got a broadcast live out there. So I actually did ask the guys to give me something to talk to with Jerry Cantrell, who's supposed to be a guest. An upcoming episode. So anyways, apparently we caught the guys bright and early, or at least early. And today, it's Scott Holiday and Robert DeLeo to start off Talkin' Rock with Meltdown on this very early morning phone call.
All right, good morning.
Hey, is this Robert?
This is Scott. Oh. Hey, dude, what's up?
Hey, Scott, it's Meltdown from WRF. How are you, man?
My man, what's up?
Not much, just getting ready to talk to you guys. What, you just strolling in?
I actually literally just walked in the room off the freeway.
All right, well.
And some crazy old lady was cussing me out in the garage. I was driving really good, too. Maybe she got me mistaken for someone else. She MF'd me. Check, check.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that Robert checking his stuff there?
That is me.
Hey, Robert, how you doing?
How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing good. I guess I'll start with you here. New record. I mean, what can you tell us?
New record. Woo!
That's it, huh?
Well, we got other things to talk about first.
Okay.
But, yes, new record. Probably...
Always promote the record.
Well,
I
yes,
hear
yes.
About it.
After all the stuff we're going to promote, yes, we are. We finished a record, and we're going to sit on that for a while other things get taken care of.
Like what? What other things?
Well, the gentleman I'm sitting next to here, we have a little tour coming up.
That tour, sure, yeah.
This is no mistaking that we're here together. We're quite happy to be starting a tour very soon.
Yeah, no kidding. Coming through the Motor City here at the end of September. And, I mean, Scott, I guess I'll just ask you, what kind of influence did STP play on you growing up?
Yeah, definitely when I was probably, in high school and just kind of finishing high school, those guys were putting their first record out.
Oh, don't make me feel old.
Sorry. And it was a mainstay, man. It was a mainstay all the way into the of course, the MTV Unplugged thing, and it was just the thing wherever we went. It was kind of like a soundtrack. Sorry if I'm not talking into the mic, so I'm looking at Robert romantically.
I can hear you perfectly.
Yeah, we played all over the place with them. It wasn't Rival Sons, it was different bands for me, but we played all over the place, and everywhere we drove, I'm pretty sure those first few STP records were our soundtrack to wherever we were going to play a gig, and wherever we played, like we would play like Mission Beach, like frat parties or whatever, and we would play, and right when we were done playing, their songs would come on, so... It's kind of built into my life like that.
Yeah, well, it's getting older for all of us. Robert, I've talked to you many times about this before, but I remember the first record you guys played in Buffalo to the 20 people that were there. And
yeah,
we talked about that before. But Purple actually turns 25. I mean, can you believe that? Or just turned 25.
I didn't know I had a 25-year-old son.
Yeah.
Amazing. 25 years. Wow.
Yeah. So, so Jeff Gute, of course, a Detroit guy, is with you guys now. Tell us something about Jeff Gute that the people in Detroit might not know, since you've been touring with him now.
He's from Detroit.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Jeff, I don't know. I don't pry into his personal life like that. But you know, we thought because he's from Detroit, that's a really good start. There's some really great bands and really great singers that came from Detroit. Scott, what do you think? Iggy Pop.
I love Detroit. Our band has a special relationship with that place because we do differently and like everybody does in different cities. And Detroit just happened to be one of the first cities that really, like, lit up for us and showed us a lot of love. And we just came through on the last tour and played the Fillmore, sold it out, which was big for us and fun.
It's great, man.
Felt great. And, before we even played there, it's one of those cities because it has bands like Iggy Pop, and it's just such, like, even I think of, like Jack White is a Detroit guy, and I just... It's such a working town, blue collar, and I knew as soon as the Rival Sons came through there, I told the guys as we were driving in, this is going to be a town for us because this is a town of rock and roll people.
Yeah.
It's dirty, it's raw. So there's other places that aren't going to hit as hard as quick. This place is going to work, and it did. So I have a really special place for Detroit.
Well,
I have to give a big hello, morning hello to my friend Wayne Kramer.
Yeah.
Yeah, from MC5.
So cool.
He was just at my daughter's library the other day where she works signing his book. Hey, Scott, you talk about selling out the Fillmore here, and of course you guys have toured all over the world now and you're selling out places. And I mean, do you guys think that, you know, you're not an overnight sensation, but do you guys think that maybe you're finally starting to get your due?
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. I mean, there's still a lot of people discovering us, so it's that, like, 10-year overnight success thing. We're doing that. But, I was thinking right now, you gave a shout-out to Wayne.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, like, close with everything, but I met Wayne, and isn't it crazy? Remember, you were in high school at one point going, telling your friends, and you're, like, big talking, shit-talking your friends, and you're like, you know what, dude? You're going to be a garbage man. You know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be best friends with Blaine Kramer. So screw you, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're shouting him out.
Yeah, I got shout out Wayne. Wayne's a beautiful dude.
Hey, speaking of guitar players, I'll ask both of you guys this. Alison Chains and Korn are in town today. What should I ask Jerry Cantrell? Since, you know, of course, you were back in the scene with him, Robert, and Scott, being a guitar player, you got to have a question for Alison Chains guitar player.
I'm gonna say they have a a lucky mascot mannequin that they carry around with them, and his name is, I can't think of his name right now, but maybe ask him what. Oh, it's Larry. Larry is their mannequin mascot. Ask what Larry is wearing.
What
today?
Okay.
He has different get. They have different get-ups for Larry.
All right. What about you, Scott? What do you got?
I don't know. That was too good. I don't have any good questions like that. But we finished in the summer. We did some shows with them. It was last summer, actually, that we played in Italy with them. It was killer. Super killer. Great to see them. Just give them all a big hello. Big hugs and kisses to those guys.
All right.
Ask Sean when he's coming out with his comedy album.
Okay. All right. I don't know if I'll see him.
Exactly.
But... All right. Final thing for you guys. Robert, talk about the new record now that we've plugged everything.
I can't really put too much into it right now, but it'll probably be out in February. We kind of had to postpone it due to other things we're doing.
Yeah.
The reissue of Purple and this tour that I'm really looking forward to.
I'm gonna cut in and say how honored we are to do this tour with these fellas.
Yeah, man, likewise. Likewise.
You guys have been heroes, and we're just so stoked to do it. It's going to be a big rock and roll night, so I hope everybody gets out and gets in there early and has a great time.
Well, end of September right here in the Motor City. Guys, thanks so much for the time. Safe travels, and we'll see you here. Thank you.
All right, Meltdown.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Meltdown.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots, Scott Holiday from Rival Sons today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Chad from Hell Yeah coming up here in just a few. You know, last month, Corey Taylor actually tweeted out about the guys from Rival Sons, says nobody in rock grooves with such diversity like Rival Sons, period. That's why they're still one of my favorite bands ever. So that's some pretty high praise from a guy who's in a band nothing like Rival Sons.
Yes, yes. And again, has a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
So. And he's not shy about sharing them.
I'll tell you this much, man. I saw those guys last time. You didn't go to the show.
I didn't make it. No.
I know. You got to get up early and stuff. But, man, what an assault. And the stage show is so killer. And it's like I tell people, it's like a heavy metal circus.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It really is.
To watch Slipknot. And they got the new guy, the Tortilla Man, who I actually talk about with Chad coming up here in the interview in a few minutes. But, yeah, he's pretty wild. He's like this stringy type character and stuff. And Sid's got this really creepy, like, I don't know if it's a baby mask or an old man mask. I can't really tell. And he's got like the, he's got the platform that kind of moves underneath him and stuff. And he kind of does all this weird, like walking, like moonwalking and stuff. And, but as far as I'm concerned, Mick Thompson and Jim Root, their masks are the coolest.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, what do you think?
It's always a big thing when you get the unveiling of the new Slipknot masks.
Yeah. I gotta be honest, man. Corey's doesn't do much for me.
No.
And I know he's taken some heat about it and stuff. And supposedly that Tom Servino, the guy who's like responsible for a lot of the horror movies and different things like that, kind of created it. I thought the funniest thing was when the guy cut his milk jug in half and put it on his face again on Twitter. Because I don't know, it's like, I don't know, it's not my favorite. Let's just say
that's all right though. But like this, they change it up, so the next one you might. You know,
yeah, Mick and what's his name there,
Jim.
Yeah, they didn't seem to change theirs up very much.
Yeah, well,
so anyhow. I don't know.
I'm not in control of the Slipknot masks.
For someone who should wear a mask all the time.
Well, you know, that's so, why I'm on the radio.
That's right. So what does Corey have to say? What's his latest thing?
Well, he was interviewed recently and asked about how long do you think the band will go on for? Because as you probably know, Slipknot not only just released a new album, they're also celebrating 20 years.
You know, that question, first of all, is ridiculous. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, like later on in my interview with Chad, okay, we'll get into that here in a few minutes. But, you know, I put out on my social media, you know, at Meltdown WRIF. I said, listen, if you guys have a question for Chad, let me know. People want to know about Mudvayne. And I kind of feel weird asking him about that because the new record from Hell Yeah doesn't come out for another month. And right. They're just getting this tour. And so that's kind of a weird question, too. It's like, how long are you going to go? Well, listen, we just dropped a record 3 days ago.
Okay? Right.
I think we're going to go for a little while.
Yeah. Although he does say it has crossed his mind before. It's something that's come up a few times. Said that, of course, when they started off, they never thought they would have made it for 20 years.
And it's one of those things like, you know, when Kid Rock talks about, you know, do I want to be singing Ba-da-ba at 50 years old? Does Slip? Not, you know, I was thinking about this last night. I think, you know, all those guys are in their 40s.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Corey, I think it's like in his mid 40s, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, can you do this at 57 years old?
Right. I heard Kerry King, who a band that is retiring, at least from the road, talk about the retirement of Slayer. And he said, yeah, this band has an expiration date on it. He's like, we're not the Rolling Stones. Like,
right.
Yeah, Mick Jagger goes out there and swings his hips a little bit because I'm up there headbanging every day. One of these days, my head's just going to snap off and roll across the stage if I keep this up. So, I mean, that was years before they announced the retirement of Slayer and did the final tour and everything. And he was like, yeah, it's going to end eventually.
And so Corey says?
And Corey says kind of the same thing. He talks about how difficult it is. Obviously, he's very busy between Stone Sour and Slipknot, and he thinks that he can't keep it up forever. He's obviously not in any rush to end things, but he does say when the time comes that he decides I can't do this anymore, that's going to be it. He's out. However, he says that he could see Slipknot going on without him as long as they found the right guy to fill his shoes.
Man, I don't like that idea at all.
No, I don't either. And of course, he's got to say something like that, but, you know, give them the blessing.
You know, Corey's the biggest name in that band.
Well, yeah.
And as Corey goes, that band goes. And I was thinking about it, too, watching this band last night. It's like, you know, what are the other guys thinking when he goes off and does Stone Sour for 2 hours or for 2 years? You know what I'm saying? It's like, so, you know, I think as Corey goes, that band goes.
That's true. I'm sure Stone Sour is just like thankful that he remembered them to begin with, because Stone Sour was actually first.
Right.
And then he got big with Slipknot.
Right.
And he was like, hey, I can resurrect this other band I've got over there in Iowa.
Yeah, and I was thinking last night watching it, too. It's like, look, I like Stone Sour just as much as the next guy, but I mean, Slipknot is a ferocious machine.
Sure, yeah.
And it's like, you know, I mean, that show last night sold out 15,000, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, and when Corey's playing with Stone Sour, he's playing to like, you know, 5,000 to 7,000, opening up for bands and different things. So,
well, I think the way he does it, too, when he starts writing music, he's got a whole collection of stuff and he goes to Slipknot first and they get the first pick, if I understand correctly. So look at it, we want this song, this song, this song. And then he'll kind of take what's left over to Stone Sour and see what they want to do over there.
I'll take your word for that, because I'm not sure if that's
it's
true.
It's a thing I'd heard. This is not information I have in front of me. So, and I've got a horrible memory. So
no backing on. No follow-up questions.
Don't quote me on anything.
All right, moving on. ZZ Top, they've had to cancel a couple tour dates.
Yeah, but not too many. Of course, ZZ Top is hitting the road for their 50th anniversary. Another band with an anniversary. Out on tour Cheap Trick. However, due to a pneumonia diagnosis for their drummer Frank Beard, they're just going to have to cancel the first 4 dates of their U.S. tour for the 50th anniversary. I guess it's something he contracted over in Europe. They just wrapped up in Europe, came home. His physician said, you're going to need to take some time and recoup. But like I said, just 4 dates they're missing. He should be fine.
I think that band is the longest running band with all the original members.
Yeah.
I mean, since the beginning.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
Yeah. So, well, cool. Moving on to KK Downing. I was telling you before we started this, I feel like I'm the only interviewer on the planet that hasn't talked to KK Downing.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I've seen some people talk to him twice. I'm like, what am I over here? You know, what's going on?
Yeah. So, well, I think a lot of people would love to see KK Downing back with Judas Priest, but would you settle for back on stage at all? For the first time in 10 years, he took the stage over the weekend, and it was kind of a cool thing. He jumped up on stage with Ross the Boss Friedman, formerly of Manowar, at the Bloodstock Open Air Festival. They did get up there. They played 4 songs together. Of course, they were Priest songs. songs. They did The Green Man Alicia with the Two-Prong Crown.
Which is not a Priest song.
Okay, well, they...
That's a cover song.
Right. Heading out to the highway, they did Breaking the Law and Running Wild all up on stage. And I think I'd seen an interview with Ross the Boss before this, and I think he was going to try and get him up on stage and said, like, I don't know, maybe if I can get him up there and loving it, maybe he'll want to get back with Judas Priest.
So, well, I don't know if it's actually up to him. We'll see.
I don't know either. But, you know.
I don't think KK left the band because I don't want to be on stage anymore. I don't think that was part of the deal.
But. Well, he wasn't on stage for about 10 years after that. So the last time he did perform was in 2009 with Judas Priest, of course.
I got a killer picture with KK and Glenn Tipton from about 10 or 12 years ago. Mm. I was doing an interview with those guys backstage in their dressing room and whatnot. And I guess, and I didn't realize this when we started the interview, but Rob was in the shower or something. And he gets out of the shower and he puts his headphones on. And he loves this, like, opera music and stuff. So he starts, like, wailing during our interview.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and so one of the guys, I think it was Glenn or something, had to get up and tell him, hey, we're doing an interview.
Shut the hell up, Rob Halford. You're singing too loud.
But I'll tell you what, if you're going to get interrupted by anyone, Rob Halford's the guy.
Yeah. So. That dude's got some pipes. Whether you like Priest or not, that dude can belt, too.
Awesome. Awesome singer. Awesome guy as well. Hey, heavy metal's supposed to be good for you now, they're saying, huh?
That's right. These eggs are good. For starters, here's the thing. They did a little study. They're saying that... metalheads, long-term fans of heavy metal, were actually happier in their youth and better adjusted in their middle age compared to non-fans. And then they went on to some more positives, including metal fans who were in an angry mood and then listened to heavy metal, had an increased positive emotion that they experienced. And, of course, they also went on to say that it promotes scientific thinking, all inspired by heavy metal.
Well, of course, you've got the scientific thinking with your Star Trek, you know, whatever you... Right?
Yeah, your Star Trek whatever.
Yeah, everything goes back to Star Trek for you.
Yeah, of course.
Your scientific thinking.
Yes.
So, well, good. I seem to be well-adjusted in my middle age.
Yeah, want to move on to the next story?
Yes, wrap it up. What do we got here?
All right, so you kind of teased this at the beginning of the podcast, but it's another case of 1,000 musicians getting together to perform one song at the same time. Rockin' 1000 is a project that, if you recall, a few years ago, they organized a group of 1,000 musicians to perform Learn to Fly from the Foo Fighters in Italy to try and get them to come perform, to get the Foo Fighters to their town in Italy. And they have since performed a bunch of different songs, stuff from the Pixies. They've done Nirvana. This time around, they got together and did Rage Against the Machine's Killing in the Name, which, of course, this video that we are hearing as I speak is up online if you want to check it out.
Man, now see, this is something I could take part in. First of all, I could play a guitar or bass without even having it plugged in.
Right, yeah.
And just be part of it.
Yeah.
Can you play this on your bass?
I've never tried. I'm sure if I sat down for long enough, I could figure it out.
It's very repetitive on the bass, but, you know, Tim Comerford is a pretty good bass player.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm... not sure if I'm digging the air instruments on this. There you go. Cool, man. Well, are you done?
I'm all done.
What do you got? At Al Beck Radio.
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
At Meltdown WRIF. Thank you so much for checking out the pod. We're going to close it out with this interview I did with Chad from Hell Yeah. Chad's a great guy, and went on the bus around 7 o'clock before the show over the weekend, and had a chance to catch up with Roy Mayorga as well before that. You got to roll the tongue whenever you say that.
You got to roll
like,
the tongue.
Like, Chad or Corey would do. Anyways, so as we walked on the bus to get ready, and I guess they wanted to set us up in the like the back lounge area, which was cool. So we walked by, and there's Chad sitting there signing copies of the brand new CD, which drops, you know, next month. So he was signing a whole bunch of them, I guess, for fan club members or whatever.
Cool.
And Chad's a really good guy, man. And I think I bring this up in the interview too. I think he's become a better guy after you know, after working with Vinny and stuff and getting out of Mudvayne and whatnot. People did want me to ask him about the whole Mudvayne thing, so I did bring that up as well. But like I said before, this video is up online at WRIF.com if you want to watch the video. And it's a pretty cool conversation. There is a little bit of this this hum and this hiss from the generator and the bus noise and stuff, but you get the picture. It's Chad today from Hell Yeah on the Talking Rock and Meltdown podcast, and we'll do it all over again real soon. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hey, back here on the Hell Yeah bus with Chad. Welcome back to the Motor City.
So,
be back.
Yeah, how's things?
Things.
Yes.
Fucking playing, man. Doing a thing.
Yeah, how's it feel to be, I mean, well, first of all, tell us about this tour and how it's gone so far and the reception the fans have given. Hell yeah.
It's been fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's been great. We're really happy. It's very cathartic. It's a very therapeutic tour for us, for all of us, I think. Not only, obviously, for the band members and having gone through what we've gone through, but for our family, you know what I mean? You know, I was very, very fortunate to play in a band with Vinny for 12 years, you know. But even more so, I was a fan since I was fucking 17 years old. So, you know, my loss, while it maybe seemed deeper because he was in my band, is as deep as yours, you know, or anybody that was a fan of his, you know. We were getting love and condolences, you know, from everyone. So thank you for that. But as much as I was getting them, I was giving them right back because we just lost such a wonderful human being. But I do believe that he's still with us. And I say it every night on stage. The one thing that's given me peace through all this is knowing that he's with his brother and his mother. And they're together and they're shining their light down on us, you know what I mean? And they're helping us. And I feel it's the least I can do, we can do, as not only a band, but as a metal community and a metal family, to bear this load and carry the torch for not only Diamond Vinny, but for Jeff Hanneman and for fucking Lemmy and fucking, you know, fucking Chester and Chris and, you know, everybody, you know what I mean, that we've lost. It's been a tough few years, man,
yeah,
as far as like losing people in music, but they are, it's a beautiful thing in the sense that they were with music, that there's selfless and as gracious as they are to leave behind their music for us to always remember them by and always have Pantera and Damage Plan and the work that I've done with Vinny and Hell Yeah.
And this new CD as well.
And the new CD.
Yeah.
Every drum on it's his. I'm very proud of him for finishing it. He was way more than just a fucking beast drummer. I mean, he's a gearhead, man. He's a studio guy, you know, like, a big part of what we did as far as composition and arranging songs and, you know, putting parts together and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I was watching one of your videos, if I'm not mistaken, or somebody was telling me about this, but I think it was your video where you were talking about people wouldn't realize how good Vinny was at putting songs together.
Very good.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think about, like, you know, I mean, I know from being, you know, an old school Pantera fan and stuff like that, it's like, Vinny and Dime could literally do anything they wanted to do on their respective instruments. But one thing I realized about Vinny through over the years of playing with him, nothing was gratuitous. It was about the song. You know, he played for the song. If you think about Walk, you know, that song alone, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's such a basic riff, but it's like, that's all you need. You know what I mean? They could have like all over it, but it didn't need it. And there's something to be said to a man and men that had that much talent, you know, to be able to get out of their own way and let the song be the fucking song, you know. I wouldn't want that song any other way, you know what I mean? And it has its moments. I mean, you hit that lead and it's like, holy shit, hang on tight, you know. But, you know, they always played for the song. And they taught, you know, Dime and Vinny both through their music taught me a lot about songwriting, playing for the song, don't be, you know, pretentious and gratuitous, you know, allow the composition to kind of speak for itself and allow the song to kind of tell its own story, you know what I mean? And, you know, but they also taught me how to be a better human being, being fucking, having humility and being humble and being generous and being gracious and being sweet. And they would talk to anyone. It's like, you know, we ain't got a name drop, but I mean, I met motherfuckers, you know, and I'm just like, wow, I just lost some fucking respect for you, dude. Like, and then you see these fucking dudes that are like fucking gods and they're the fucking nicest people on the fucking planet, you know, and it's just like, they taught me how to carry myself as a human being.
I was just telling someone just today that since this is from me looking at you from the outside in, that since you've been in hell, yeah, your vibe has been way better. Like, that's the feeling I get. And I said to him, I said, I think that has a lot to do with BP. And that's just my guess.
Yeah.
So
he did. Yeah, absolutely. It? You know, I mean, I learned that, you know, from them before I knew him. But then after I learned, after I was around him, and, you know, part of the catharsis of this tour and just what we're doing in general was really just is recoil from, in a good way, from us seeing how music affected him, because he was devastated and destroyed and grieving and mourning beyond with the loss of his brother and the way he was so tragically taken away from us. And Hell Yeah gave him an opportunity and a platform to come out of that and carry the torch for his brother. And we were happy to fucking stand next to him and do that with him, you know, for Dime. And so we had this great mentorship from Vinny on how to do this, what we're doing right now. He's taught us how to do this for 12 years to carry the flame for his brother. And now that's what we're doing for him and everybody else that I mentioned. You know, we're on a fucking mission. We believe in our fans. We believe in our family. We believe in the goodness that comes with metal and the lives that it saves and the things that it does for people. Like, we're very fucking passionate about what we do, you know? So we just hope that when we get on stage at night, that resonates in people and people walk out feeling a little bit lighter, you know, because it's the fucking world, man. We all just hang on so fucking tight, you know what I mean? It's like, whatever your problem is, man, and metal is not a competitive sport. There is no gold fucking medal, you know what I mean? I'm proud of all my metal brothers in other bands and shit, and the release that they allow when they come to cities and play and stuff like that. But as a metal fan, me being a metal fan my whole life, you know, you got to know when you can just let go and fucking check your problems at the door. And it's like, tonight belongs to you. Just let fucking go. They'll be there when you leave, but you're going to be fucking stronger in your mind because you've just had a connection. You've had a sharing, not only with us, but with everybody standing around you to go out and fucking face the world and fight another day. You know what I mean? So that's the point.
Talk about BP physically being gone. I mean, do you guys get to bed earlier now?
I don't know. I don't sleep well. Anyway.
I know BP was like the guy, like, I know, like, Diamond, I hear all these stories about, man, it's like, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning,
they're endless.
Shots and the whole thing.
They're endless.
Yeah. So well, do you guys get to sleep earlier now?
Dime's thing was drink it or wear it.
Right.
You know, like, literally, bring a fucking shot. And I've learned a lot from, like, working with those guys on the first record and stuff. I fucking heard every Dime story there was. It was amazing. But, like, Sterling was telling me, he's like, you know, used to work for them. It was their sound guy and engineer guy in the studio. And he's like, fucking Dime would wake up in the morning because he only slept, like, a couple hours a night. Mm. He'd wake up in the morning, look out his fucking driveway and see whose car was there, you know, and he would go looking for you. And fucking Sterling would be like, fucking, I climb in a fucking closet and fucking bury myself under clothes. And he's like, next thing you know, it'll be fucking 9 in the morning. We've been partying since fucking 7. And fucking clothes would get pulled on me. And fucking Dime be standing there with the tray shots going, drink it or wear it. And he's like, fucking wear it, man. And he just fucking splash it on you. So he did, you know. I did that at Vinny a couple times when I was doing the record. Like, we were doing Love for Blood, I think. And I went, because I just finished a song, I think I finished DMF or something like that, and I went up and I was fucking pounding on his door, and he's like, comes to the door, he's like, what the fuck is going on, man? And I'm like drink it or wear it. And he's like, what? And I'm like, fucking finished the song last night, you gotta come listen to this shit. He's like, really, right now? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, god damn it, you remind me of my fucking brother. I'm like, well, there's worse things, right?
Hey, that's probably the highest compliment
you
got.
That's probably the best compliment I've ever got. So thank you, Vinny Paul, I love you. Thank you, Dime, I love you guys. I'm fucking, thank you guys.
So let's talk about the current band. How's Roy been adapting to life on the road with you guys?
Fucking amazing, dude.
Yeah, Roy's a good dude.
He's like one of the most genuinely real, sweet, fucking gracious, humble, badass motherfuckers. I mean, like, it's like round hole, round peg. I mean, you can't ask, you couldn't have scripted it any better for somebody to step into Vinny's role than him. Mm-hmm. Outside of his level of playing, the type of person he is, too. I mean, he's very that way. You know, he's just a really cool fucking dude. He's like one of my best friends, you know, and it's been cool, and it's been very...
So you knew him before this? I didn't know what your relationship
was. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we did. But like, Roy and I have always had one of those kind of friendships where it's like where you see each other again and you pick up and it picks up right where it left off. We were like super close, you know, but I did make the call to get him, you know, to ask him to be in the band or whatever. And
perfect time, and worked out perfectly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was a fucking... We had a couple people in mind, and just the more I fucking thought about it, I was like, man, this... You know, and I talked to CMFT, Corey motherfucking Taylor, and my boy, and you know, Ted just want to get his wishes, and I was like, you know, you're not gonna do a Stone Sour, you're gonna do Slipknot. I'm excited about it. I'm super excited about the new Slipknot record. It's fucking smashing. Smashing.
I've got a question about that here in a few minutes, but back to Roy. He was so excited. I talked to him about it, and he was like, not only excited to play with you guys, but of course, obviously, to remember his friends.
Yeah,
and to pay homage to him, and that was to pay respect.
That was the thing. It was like this was never going to be just fucking bestowed upon someone that could just play his parts. Like, we needed, like, the prerequisite was we needed somebody that Vinny appreciated, loved, and respected as a drummer and a person. And we needed somebody that appreciated, loved, and respected Vinny as a drummer and a person. And we got that. So there you go.
No, it worked out well. So you guys have been, like, leaking songs and stuff. And I know I saw the finished product. You've been signing stuff. And that's really kick-ass. Comes out on September 27th. And the song Perfect was leaked this week. That's killer. I mean, each song seems to get better. Welcome Home, I think, is awesome. And we talked about that last time I talked with you about, you know, that perfect fit for that, the whole thing. And then the last song on the record is called Irreplaceable. Is there, was that by design to be the last song? I mean, I don't know what the song's about. I haven't heard it yet.
Well, when you hear it, you'll understand what it's about.
And that's why I asked you if it's the last song, because I'm just kind of putting two and two together.
It's really just, it's pretty cool. What it is, I can't give it away, but it's just very appropriate.
Okay.
It's perfect. I mean, and that's the, you know, again, that's the thing with Roy too. It's like, you can't replace the irreplaceable, you know, and Roy knows that. And Roy is, again, back to the graciousness, like, he's happy to step in and do it, you know, and be the fill-in. I'm your fill-in drummer. I'm not your drummer.
Right.
I'm not Vinny Paul. I'm the guy that's filling in, so you can't continue to carry the torch. Without him, we couldn't do it, you know. But the track is, it's really cool. When people hear it, they're, you know, because it's whatever it is.
September 27th, I can't wait. But it seems like this whole thing has really kind of fallen into place. And I don't know if you guys have really worked hard at it, or it's just, like I said, divine intervention where things are just kind of putting the pieces together.
Vinny,
both?
Yeah, I think he's looking out for sure.
But you know what I'm saying, like Welcome Home, and you know, just like it seems to fit.
Yeah, well, Welcome Home was actually written. Like, Vinny heard that song a million times.
Right. Yeah.
But you hear the content of it. That's just kind of how I write anyway. But you know, you write things kind of vague and ambiguous. That's how I write, so people can make it applicable to their life. You know, so you know, Vinny heard that song a million times and he fucking absolutely loved it. But then you go and you listen to it now after, and you can take that and you can twist it and make it like you could very well easily believe that that was written after he passed. It wasn't, you know. But Vinny just gave me such mad props, like, all the way through. And I had 6 songs to write after he passed, so I went back to the studio after the services. I went back to the studio by myself, me and Kevin Churko, and fucking just, it was brutal. And it's kind of like what we're doing out here right now. It's like, there was enough pressure on me. There was enough pressure on me to keep me working or whatever, but I felt like Dime and Vinny were lifting enough off of me enough to where I could stay focused. It was like this weird thing. Like, you know, when we were in the studio, I told Kevin, I'm like, I don't want to sing in a fucking dark ass room. Can we bring the big mic in here? Can I stand next to you? I'm used to looking over next to me and seeing people playing, you know, when we're on stage, and I'm used to looking behind me and seeing Vinny, you know, and looking to my right and seeing Tom and Kyle, looking to my left and seeing Brady and stuff. I was like, I don't want to stand in a fucking dark ass room right now, you know. And so, can we do it together so I can at least look at my boy and, like, my brother Kevin, and, you know, and the fucking whole time we're doing shit, you know. And I'm fucking writing and just getting up and tracking, writing and getting up and tracking. That's how it was. because there just became a point where it's like, we got to get this shit done. We got to write, you know, and I made Vinny a fucking promise the day after he died. I said, brother, I could just walk away from this, but you're one of my musical heroes and I'm not fucking doing it. Like, I owe you that. I owe this to you.
Yeah.
And I spoke to him just like I'm speaking to you right now, out loud. I wanted to hear myself make him that promise. Mm-hmm. So it would have teeth and grip me. And so when I would want to go, fuck this, I will have heard myself say it.
That could have been the easy thing to do.
That would have been the easy. That would have been way easier to do. It was brutal.
But it wouldn't have been as fulfilling.
No. No way. I would.
You would have thought about this for the rest of your life. What could we have done?
I would have walked around with a hole in my heart for the rest of my life. Yeah. For sure.
So how much more stuff do you have? Because I talked to a VP about this one time that he said there's dime stuff for days and days and days. Do you have anything else or no?
There's whatever. I think there's probably some more shit that we probably get into later. But
so after this tour and stuff, I mean, have you thought about after this tour and after the record comes out? I mean, no?
Well, we do, yeah, of course. You know, we want to keep going, you know. The question is always going to be, you know, is this still viable? Is this still something that people want to see? You know, we believe it is. You know, we think that, you know, for no other reason than based on what we're doing with the whole, you know, carrying the flag is worthy of doing it. And the players are great. I mean, everybody's playing great. Roy's fucking been incredible. There's a real sense of brotherhood and camaraderie. We feel like Vinny is still with us 100%. You know, Dime was always our sixth member. Now we've got six, number seven, member one, or number two. I don't give a fuck. I'll be the seventh member. I don't give a shit.
I'll be the honorary. I'll be member 27.
Okay, cool.
So, hey, listen, I asked the listeners for some questions because it's like, you know, people want to know different things. So one of the things that I was asking them, I said, hey, give me a question for Chad. They're like, who's the tortilla man in Slipknot? They want to know that. Someone asked me that.
Man?
Yeah. Their new guy. I don't know.
Oh, I have no idea. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I just listen.
if you could cover a Kiss song, what would it be?
I don't know. I'm supposed to ask that. I'm supposed to answer that, right? Because the whole Detroit Rock City shit.
Well, no, not at all. I mean, that's probably the right answer, but, I
gotta be careful what I say, because I'm not that super huge Kiss fan.
You're not?
Which is weird. Because I wore face paint.
Well, I thought that VP would have rubbed off on you a little bit. Or dude, he was fucking,
are you kidding me? That was like before we went on stage every night. Van Halen the fuck out of this motherfucker. I'm just like, I'm not really that big of a fan. I like Van Halen. I like Kiss. I mean, I guess. I don't know. I'm a fucking metalhead. I love metal. Dude, that's where I come from.
Yeah.
But I do like classics. I like classic shit, too, you know, so.
Yeah.
Whatever.
A lot of people want to know about the Mudvayne thing. You thinking about that at all or no? No?
Do they?
That's not me.
No shit. What? You're blowing my fucking air back right now. People want to know about Mudvayne? That's crazy talk.
That's crazy talk. See, I knew it.
And that was a lemon seed. Growing lemon trees in my stomach, people. Fucking whatever. Dude. We got so much shit on our plate right now.
That's what I'm getting at.
You know, it's like, Mudvayne, you know, we're all good. We all talk. We're cool. You know, whatever. It is what it is, man. This is where I have to be right now.
Right.
This is so monumentally important to not only me personally, but to us as a band, and I think to us as a metal community and a metal family, to carry this on and fucking run it till the fucking wheels fall off. I mean, I'm in, you know, I'll do it for as long as I can do it. I love my guys. I love my band. I love our fans. They're not even fans, they're family, and it's worldwide, and it's a fucking beautiful thing. And
when you do the meet and greets, like before the show, like did a little while ago, people must have all sorts of Vinny stories for you. They must make your heart happy.
Oh yeah, dude, it's incredible that he touched as many people as he did. Yeah. You know, and I was one of those people. So, and I'm blessed and fortunate to, like I said, not only have been a longtime fan of his, but to have had the opportunity to travel with him, tour with him, write music with him that closely to see how he approached writing music, because I'd been writing music for fucking years, you know. So it's just like, you can never learn too much, you know. You're always going to be a sponge, and he really taught me a lot.
I think I'll wrap it up here. I think I became a friend of Vinny at this show. I think the first time you guys ever played here, because I brought him an autographed picture of Nick Lindstrom from the NHL, who he was a fan of, and framed, and he put it up in his pool room.
Oh, yeah. That's what he had, every single team's fucking helmets.
Yeah.
The goalie mask, and it's all over his fucking...
Yeah. I showed it to a security guy or one of your guys, and I said, hey, I got this for VP. He goes, oh, yeah, he's going to want to talk to you.
Oh, for sure.
And that's how it became.
Super hockey fan. I mean, you know, he's a big Stars fan. And then, obviously, you know, he split time between there and Vegas. And then, you know, the Knights have done as well as they've done and stuff. So, you know, like, which side did you, where are you at? He's like, ah, oh, man, you know, he didn't give a fuck. He's like, you know, he's still Dallas, Texas through and through.
Yeah.
But he really did love and appreciate Las Vegas and the spirit of Las Vegas and the people. I mean, he loved people everywhere, you know, and people loved him everywhere. So when I first fucking, you know, knew him and we're hanging out in Texas, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this guy's like the fucking mayor of fucking Dallas, you know what I mean? And then he just fucking moves to fucking Vegas. I'm like, Jesus Christ, well, this guy's the mayor of fucking Vegas. Like, the fucking guy was like...
Did he have a carrot top room?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stayed in that every...
An orange room.
Yep. Orange room, big crazy clown on the wall, fucking all sorts of shit. I woke up to that thing many times. It's looming over here like giant.
You know how big Vegas is. I ran into him 3 times in Vegas, like at three different times, like different years and everything. Yeah. Just walking through a casino, there he is.
They gave him a proclamation or whatever. I'm hoping that's the right word or whatever. When we did our Vegas show, the tribute show, they like literally came out and fucking... like honorary memorandum fucking bullshit, whatever I'm trying to say, you know, like from the city of Las Vegas naming him as like May, or was it March 13th or something like that? March 13th, I think, was the day we played the show.
Well, his birthday is March 11th.
Yeah, but I think it was the 13th was the show day.
Okay, good.
I think.
Yeah, right.
I can't fucking remember. I don't remember what I ate for lunch. So, yeah, they named it Vinnie Paul Day.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, hi. Back to that Mayor of Vegas thing. He's like...
Well, listen, I'm going to wrap this up by saying thank you.
Thank you.
For doing this. And thank you for, you know, really, I mean, you could have just said, no, we're just going to do something different. But you didn't. And I considered Vinnie a friend. And we used to text back and forth all the time about hockey. And I'll show you a video when we get done here where Vinnie was slightly intoxicated.
Never.
But
again, crazy talk.
But I'm looking forward to the show, and thanks for the time, man.
You're welcome. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.